Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode 125. This is our discussion show for the first week of February 2017. I'm Eric, and I'm joined tonight by Chris and by Lou. Chris, how you doing?
I'm not bad.
All right. Lou, what about you?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. Okay, well, as you probably noticed, we've got some changes to the network. We talked a little bit about this in the news show that released back on Wednesday. But we are taking what used to be the Outer Rim news show. We're pulling it under the Random Chatter name. So every week you're going to have a quick blurb every Monday morning. It's just kind of a weekly recap. The box office results, the upcoming box office stuff, the new releases on DVD for the week. A little bit of a tease of what we're going to cover in Wednesday's news show, just kind of what used to be the lightning round. Then Wednesday, we're going to have a news discussion. That's going to be about 30 minutes or so. The one for this week was a little longer because we still had to cover all of the stuff. We didn't break anything out of it. And then every Friday, we are going to have our traditional Random Chatter discussion episode. And that's exactly what this is this week. Chris threw this in the show notes. This is, I actually had something else that I was going to cover, but I think this is probably a better topic for tonight. Chris, you want to bring us into this topic?
Yeah, so in case you are not aware and you are a Doctor Who fan, Peter Capaldi is stepping down as role of the Doctor and will be leaving the show technically at the end of this season, although he will be, which I think this it premieres in April, I think they just announced, he'll do the full season and then do the Christmas special, and in the Christmas special, that'll be his last episode. And then they will go to the 13th Doctor.
Okay.
So people have been, you know, obviously speculating, well, what are you going to do with, you know, with who's going to be the next Doctor? And this one is a little bit more interesting, though, because Stephen Moffat, who has been running the show now since it was the start of Matt Smith's run, so around 2011-ish, so pretty much, you know, 6-7 years now. He is also stepping down after the season.
You know, we should probably bring some people up to speed real quick about what we're talking about with Doctor Who. Doctor Who is probably the only show on television that regularly changes the casting for the main character.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is the Doctor Who, he's an alien, he's a Time Lord. And when he dies, he doesn't actually die. He regenerates in a new body. This was originally done because way, way, way back in the day when this started, was it the 50s or 60s? It's a really old show.
I think it started in the 60s.
Okay. So the main actor was, his health wasn't great, and so they had to replace him. So what they did was they decided that he would die without really dying. So his body died, but he continued in a new body. But every time the Doctor regenerates with this new body, it has a different physical brain to it. The brain's wired a little bit differently. There are different personality quirks, etc. Doctor Who went on a hiatus for a long time, and it came back in what was technically season 9? No, it was the 9th Doctor. They rebooted it as season 1. Chris, mm-hmm. Do you remember when that was with Christopher Eccleston?
That was in 2005.
Okay. So 2000,
wow, that long ago already. Wow.
Yeah, a decade now. And so that was Christopher Eccleston, also known as Destro from the G.I. Joe movie. And he did one season, and then that was it. And then they brought in David Tennant. And by that point, though, it had gained such popularity in the United States, as opposed to being primarily just a British show, that BBC was able to split the production costs with the Canadian division of BBC, which increased the budget. So one of the complaints about Doctor Who had always been that the budget was really low. Like, the effects were kind of crappy, even though the stories and the characters were great. So now they had more of a budget and they could do a more epic show with better special effects and everything. David Tennant was brought on, who was a just incredible actor. If you've seen Jessica Jones, he's the guy that plays Kilgrave, the villain. And then he had a run for a few years. They brought in the 11th Doctor, which was Matt Smith. And then now we are on Peter Capaldi, who's the 12th Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So what Chris is referring to, for those who are not up to speed with Doctor Who, because it can be kind of confusing, this is going to be the new 13th Doctor that will be coming after this season in 2017 ends.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been, what, two showrunners?
Yes, for the 2005 version.
Right. Wait, so when we're talking about the show, we're talking from 2005 on.
Right, really. The current stuff.
Yeah. Right.
It was originally Russell T. Davis. He ran the show, from 2005 until 2010, because he left when David Tennant left. And then when Matt Smith picked up Stephen Moffat, who was, I don't know, I know he was a writer on staff before, but he's also the guy who makes Sherlock, if you watch that. But he took over as showrunner, and it's been like that ever since. So, a lot of people are now talking, what's going to happen with, because you have to replace Peter Capaldi, but you also have to keep in mind that you're getting a new showrunner, too. And we actually have an article here, and this is really where the discussion comes into play. I found it on Nerdist, and I'm sure this isn't the only place that has been talking about it. But the title of the article is Why Doctor Who Won't Shake Anything Up with the Next Doctor.
Now, this is a prediction. This is not a report.
Yes, correct. Now, I don't know about you guys when it comes to, your involvement in the Doctor Who fandom, or your dedication to it, I should say, but I'm very picky when it comes to characters that change. The same can be said about James Bond, who also has different actors.
Mm-hmm.
But I get really attached to some, and Peter Capaldi, even though his seasons haven't been the best in the show run of Doctor Who, he's a good actor and he's done very well. So I'm personally really sad to see him go. But the article talks about, it kind of speculates on some of the names who have been, rumored, I guess.
Well, do we want to kind of talk about how we feel about the Doctor Who franchise up to now? Because I think that might affect our discussion.
Yeah, that'll probably be good.
Yeah.
I think it might kind of flavor what we say about our opinion of where to go next.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick then, Chris, when did you start watching Doctor Who? Just in a nutshell, because we do want to move the conversation along too. We have a lot to get to. But when did you start watching Doctor Who, and how do you feel about the different Doctors and the high points and low points of the show so far for you?
I started watching Doctor Who in 2012. It was in the middle of Matt Smith's run. I love the show. Like, it's definitely one of my favorites. My favorite is 9, who is Christopher Eccleston. Mm-hmm. So that's not an unpopular opinion, but it's one that you don't hear too much. So that's really my take on the fandom.
Okay. Lou, what about you?
I started watching with Eccleston when he came in. I heard a lot about the, I knew it was an old franchise, an old name coming back. I thought, I'll give it a shot. And I really didn't care for the first episode of the first season with Eccleston. I like Eccleston as an actor, but I didn't care for the first season all that much. I don't know why I stuck with it, but I'm glad I did, because I love Tennant's run and I love Smith's run. And I kind of fell off the wagon when Capaldi came on. I really didn't take to him as the Doctor, and it's one of those things where I didn't have time to watch it, so it stacked up my DVR, and then I lost some episodes. I don't know. I just haven't gone back and seen all his stuff, and now I feel like I'm lost, and I really should watch all his stuff from the beginning again to kind of see where I'm at.
Okay, so you are not currently caught up.
I want to come back to what you said, Lou, because that's part of this article. But go ahead, Eric. Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's okay, because I think I'm probably going to bring it full circle and come back to what I expect you're going to come back to. I did not pick up right at the beginning. For me, it was after Matt Smith came on, and iTunes released the first Matt Smith episode for free, as they often do when there's a new series returning. They'll, you know, they'll do the season premiere for free or something. And I watched it, knowing that it was out of order and everything, but it was free, and I thought, okay, well, I'm not into this whole Doctor Who thing. I don't understand what people are so obsessed about. I'll check it out. And I really liked the first episode. I thought, okay, I can see where people are into this. I should maybe check out more of this. And there was a pause before I went back to it. And I finally picked up the Eccleston stuff. And I didn't hate it. But I will say that had I not seen the Matt Smith episode first, I don't think I would have continued watching it through the Ninth Doctor. Or what I refer to as season one. I don't think I would have done it. And I definitely, to this day, I can't go back and watch the old stuff. But then that's the way it is for me across the board. Anything from the 60s and 70s, TV shows, movies, whatever, just not my thing. I did get through it. I watched David Tennant. The moment he appeared on screen, I said, my gosh, who's this clown? This is worse than the last guy. But after that first episode with him, I'm like, oh, okay, no, he's all right. And then I fell in love with David Tennant. And they always say your first Doctor is your favorite. I don't know for me, because technically Matt Smith was my first one. And Matt Smith and David Tennant for me, they're neck and neck as far as which one's my favorite. They're very different Doctors.
Yeah, me too.
We get to, and I thought the writing was phenomenal on the David Tennant stuff. And I think that the beginning of the Matt Smith stuff was phenomenal as well. But then something happened with what's his face? The showrunner,
Stephen Moffat.
Stephen Moffat. Thank you. And it was right about the time they brought Clara in and got rid of Amy and Rory, the companions, the sidekicks for the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And I like Clara as a companion, and I love Jenna Coleman as an actress. And there was something about it that just didn't quite, it was almost like he didn't know what to do with the companion, and he didn't know, he knew where he wanted the season to end, but didn't know how he wanted to get there. So a lot of that, I think it was season 6, part 2, was kind of, yeah, until the end. At the end, it was phenomenal, the wrap-up with Matt Smith, you know, the day of the Doctor, the time of the Doctor, the whatever of the Doctor, you know, the bad foot odor of the Doctor, that whole series of all of those episodes. Phenomenal stuff. And then we get Peter Capaldi. It took me a while to get into the character. And then they did some weird things. They get rid of the sonic screwdriver, and he has a pair of cheap gas station sunglasses now that are like, that's the sonic screwdriver thing he's doing. The character development for him seemed all over the place. The episodes were spotty. I kind of fell off, too. I used to watch religiously every week. It was one of the things that if I didn't watch live, I would at least watch it within the first 24 hours of it airing, whereas everything else was time shifted for me. And now, like, it took me a year to catch up on this last season of Doctor Who. And I'm glad that I did, because this last season was better than the earlier Capaldi stuff. And, Lou, you do need to go back to it.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure I will. I just, you know, I don't know. I mean, the budget during the Eccleston stuff seemed awful kind of wonky. And,
yeah,
and
it was.
It seemed kind of like, wow, really, do I want to stay with this? And then, you know, like you said, when Tennant came on, I was really involved in the character. I loved the development. I thought the writing was much better. And he was my Doctor. I mean, Eccleston was not my Doctor, because he was my first, but he wasn't the one I gravitated towards. And then when Matt Smith came on, I was like, oh, come on. No, I really like Tennant. I don't want him to go.
Yeah,
and
that's the thing. There's always that adapting. There's always that state of denial, and then you've got to accept the new one and try to connect with them.
But I connected with him 100%. I was like, oh, this is awesome too, you know? And I thought the two of them, as the way they portrayed the Doctor, was very different and gave it enough difference that I was okay with that. You know, I was like, wasn't too close. It wasn't like he was trying to be kind of the same. It was a radical departure, and I really enjoyed it. But then I just have not connected with Capaldi yet. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, in a way, I'm glad he's leaving now and I'll find somebody new.
Well, for me, like I'm finally connecting with Capaldi, and I think Clara eventually did find her way as a strong companion. But I'm.
I had a crush on Jenna Coleman, so that worked for me. Really
well, see, I. Oh, dude. I total crush on Jenna Coleman, but even then, I admitted that she wasn't being utilized well. But they finally did. I'm glad to see that we're going to get a new Doctor instead of Capaldi. I'll do respect to him because he is a good actor.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he has some phenomenal, especially the second to last episode of this past season. Just incredible work. But I think I'm happier to see Moffat go.
Yeah, you aren't the only one.
That's what I'm concerned about. The Doctor, okay, that's good. I want Moffat out of there. And Moffat's given us some great stuff. I kind of feel like it's the George Lucas thing. You know, I'm glad that George Lucas is no longer involved with Star Wars, but I have to say George Lucas created that whole aspect of my childhood and my life as a fiction fan and as a science fiction fan. I owe all of that to George Lucas, and yet I'm glad someone else is doing it. So I owe Stephen Moffat that early stuff with Matt Smith that I love so much, but dude needs to move on.
Yep.
Okay.
It's just not there anymore.
And see, that's really what, you know, is stirring this article that we're going to talk about, because a lot of people have, you know, really felt both, you know, like you guys have. I mean, the mediocre past couple of seasons, I think this is going to be Capaldi's third or fourth. I can't remember. They all kind of run together.
Really? Yeah. I wow. think this will be his fourth.
I know
fourth.
He has two for sure.
Well, they keep doing the, like, the part, like, they have season six part one and season six part two, and they keep doing that kind of crap. So
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I think this is his fourth.
But, you know, Doctor Who was really, really popular, really in the later part of Tennant's run, but especially with Matt Smith.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm talking about here in the United States.
But now that popularity has died.
Yeah, it's like,
it seems that way.
I remember seeing there was an article or something that where ratings were like at the lowest they've been, you know, in a while for Doctor Who. And that's really, apparently the BBC really kind of wants to shake up.
Right.
And, you know, they're not like firing Capaldi or firing Moffat or anything like that. You know, they're voluntarily, you know, departing from the show, but, you know, they really do need to inject some life into it.
Well,
and this article kind of talks about that. And, you know, one of the rumored cast members that might become the Doctor is, and I'm going to butcher the name, Ben Whishaw.
Wishlaw. I think. Wishlaw. Oh, no, Wishaw. Okay. Yeah, I think you had it right. Wishaw.
Okay. He is, if you are a James Bond fan, he plays Q in the Daniel Craig movies. And I don't know what else he plays, but that's where I know him from. Okay. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, he's a British guy. He's white. He's gay, but he's still a British white guy. And that's safe. That's not, you know, a black person or a woman or a black woman or, you know, anything like that, like this article is talking about.
Right.
And it's really safe.
I want a quick sidebar. I apologize for interrupting you. The fact that he's gay, I don't like it. And if they were going to bring that over to the Doctor, to me, the Doctor character has always been asexual.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and we see other, I don't want to spoil it too much, but we see other Time Lords who, upon regeneration, take the opposite sex of what they are in the past. And so we know that that's a thing within this continuity. If you're male, you don't always end up male again. You might become female, etc. And the sexual orientation thing doesn't bother me at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm all about diversity for that. But in this particular franchise, the character of the Doctor, there's nothing sexual about him. There's nothing, even in the times where there was a kind of a slight hint of romance between either Tennant's Doctor or Matt Smith's Doctor and another character, it still always felt like, well, it's not actually going anywhere. It doesn't ever go anywhere. And it's almost just more of a hint than it is anything substantial. Even if maybe the companion's feeling it toward the Doctor doesn't ever really truly reciprocate that to the companion. So mm-hmm. when they're looking at diversity in the character of the Doctor, I kind of feel like sexual orientation, it doesn't have any relevancy to this character. So yeah. I don't see that as being a representation of diversity because I don't, I mean, the Doctor doesn't have sex with anyone. So, and okay. So beyond just sex too, because let's not diminish the importance of orientation. He doesn't have any romantic or intimate relationship with another person on a romantic level. So it's just yeah. not relevant to that character.
Mm-hmm.
That diversity can be brought in any other characters in the show. And it has been with, Captain Jack, but mm-hmm. the Doctor, him or herself, that's not relevant to me. I just wanted to throw that in there because that is the issue of diversity is part of this article and the point they're trying to make. So,
mm-hmm. and you know, they don't, you know, this article is kind of speculating, well, maybe they shouldn't really, you know, take some huge leap to really, really change the formula of Doctor Who and how it's been, you know, not only since just 2005, but, you know, since it started out of being a white guy, or, you know, it used to be an old white guy, and then it was like a middle-aged young guy, and then it was a really young guy, and then it's back to an old guy. So it's just, I kind of agree with, you know, taking the really safe route, because you don't know how I don't know who is taking over for Stephen Moffat. It might have been announced. I don't know if it has or not. But, you know, I don't want this major change to Doctor Who, because even if you want to do it for all the right reasons, like, I have no problem with a female doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, it's as long as the character is good, I don't care who you are.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think when you're, you know, in a period of weariness when it comes to not only, you know, the network, but just general viewership for a worldwide phenomenon almost, you know, you don't want to do something too drastic that will just end up being the death of your show that's been ongoing now for over 50 years.
And it's a risk bringing in a new showrunner. So while I am about to diametrically be opposed to your opinion here, there is a great amount of logic to let's not turn the entire boat upside down.
Yeah.
You know, the boat's already rocking a little bit as one person's getting out and another person's getting in. Let's stabilize things. And once we get things back to the way they were and stable again, and repair, I don't want to say the damage done, but, you know, repair the lower ratings and all of that, then go ahead and shake things up. But, like, get things back on track first with story quality and the consistency of the ratings and the consistency of the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the opposite with that, though. I'm going to say that I understand the ratings were highest with Matt Smith, who was also the youngest Doctor. But I think that maybe shaking things up is the way to get the ratings back. And the one way that seems to be perfect to me, and I've been saying this not really vocally because it hasn't come up, but I have mentioned it before, I think about a year ago. I want to see Hayley Atwell as the Doctor. She played Agent Carter. She just recently had another a new TV series that I think is not being renewed. And I think she'd be perfect. And I don't think that she's such a versatile actress that I think she'd have no problem carrying the role and everything that the role involves, because the role of the Doctor is, it does appear to me to be kind of a demanding role as an actor. And I believe that she has the chops to be able to handle it. And I think that's a great way to go. We've never had a female Doctor before. We've also never had an African-American Doctor, an Asian Doctor, an American Doctor, etc. But I feel like with Hayley Atwell, you've got a known quantity in an actress. You've got a female as a doctor, which is a big jump. It's something that's never been done before. It's something that is controversial. And, you know, go from there. And then you're going to bring on a new showrunner. And the thing about that is, one of the things that people say a lot about Doctor Who is, you've already covered so many different things, there's nothing left to do. Of course, people have been saying that for decades now, and people always find new things to do, but it always takes a new person coming in to find those new things. Maybe bringing in a female doctor makes it a little easier to do that, because now, even if a story harkens back in some way to things that have already happened or already been done, at least they're being done in a different enough way that it feels fresh and it feels new. It might be easier for the oncoming showrunner now to differentiate the direction of Doctor Who from what's come in the past and to feel like they are telling fresh stories. But really, well, what it comes down to is, it's either you go safe or you go drastic. You can't just stay in the middle. You got to do one or the other to shock the system.
You know, one of the nice things about Doctor Who, especially when you talk about shaking things up and bringing in a different actor to play the role, whether it be a person of color or somebody of a different race or something, you know, a female, what have you, this is the one show you can do that without any repercussions. And I've been on record before saying I don't like it when they do that with other shows where, oh, let's make this a female because, you know, that's the thing now. We're trying to be more progressive. It doesn't work for me in most things because that role was a male role or whatever the case may be.
Right. You're talking about in the content. It doesn't break things in the I mean, obviously, people, you know, in the media, right, and online and the internet, people are going to whine and complain about it. But like you're referring, yeah, back to like the comic book stuff where they change who Captain America is, or they change who Spider-Man or Thor,
right,
is, or something,
or
like that,
or any kind of role in Hollywood where they're changing it because, oh, let's make this a, you know, a female now, or make this, okay, you know, whatever. If it doesn't fit the role that was designed for, you know, we're changing it for the sake of changing it because we're trying to be, you know, keeping up with what's going on in society today. Doctor Who, you could do this really, really well without any problems. It works for me because they change actors every couple of years, every couple of seasons. And this would be a great time to bring someone like Hayley Atwell in or do something.
Right.
But for me, it's more about the story and what we're getting, not about the Doctor. It's about the Doctor and the interaction with his companions. I mean, I think the reason why, you know, the 11th Doctor works so well for me is because I love the companions and they made such a great story with him. Other doctors haven't had great companions, or even you know, like even Tennant had some real, yeah, you know, for companions. And I'm like, well, why am I even watching this? But the story was good enough to keep it going.
Yeah.
So to me, it's about everything all together. And if you can put together a cast of a new doctor and a new companion with a good story that's going to keep me engaged, I am all over that.
Right. Well, another name that's been floating around is David Oyelowo. And I think he could do a good job too. He played Dr. Martin Luther King in Selma. He was in Jack Reacher. He's in the upcoming God Particle movie by J.J. Abrams, which people are speculating is going to be a Cloverfield sequel. He plays Agent Callus in Star Wars Rebels.
Hmm.
And he's been in other things too. Interstellar. Let me see here. An IMDb. Red Tails. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. He's got a long, long, long list here. And he's a great actor. And I think he could do a really good job too. And a few of these other names in the article here. Some I recognize. Some I don't. But I would be okay if he were the doctor, because again, I know he's got the acting chops, having the African-American, African-Brit. He's not American. But having him in the role, I think he would do really well. I guess there's a part of me that just really wants to see, it's not about seeing a woman as the doctor. It's about seeing Hayley Atwell as the doctor. I want that woman, that actress, playing Doctor Who. Like, she's just, to me, she would be perfect as Doctor Who.
See, though, I'm still worried that if you do something like that, then you run the risk of throwing in the towel and really damaging your viewership. Because even though we're sitting here having a nice, friendly, civil conversation about this, a lot of people, especially longtime fans, really want the Doctor to always be a male. And you know good and well, and this is really just me being devil's advocate here.
Sure, sure. I know that you would support
well that if you have not only a female main character and a female companion who is also being introduced in this upcoming season that'll start airing in the U.S. in April, you know, you kind of maybe run the risk of maybe feeling like some of the demographic
it could adversely hurt the ratings.
Targeted wrong.
Yeah. I mean, let's just say it like it is. It can adversely affect the ratings. Exactly. There is a large part of the population here in the United States, perhaps the population in Britain, though they seem to be a little more on top of things with this, who, if it's not a white male, they don't want it. But, you know, for the sake of being quick about it, because we need to wrap the show up here in a minute, get over it. Like, I get it. But the thing is, Hollywood and TV production, they need to make up their mind because they want to promote diversity. And yet they also want a cookie cutter formula that is going to be guaranteed success.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out at the very beginning of this show, Doctor Who is in trouble ratings-wise. I mean, it's not about to go off the air, but the ratings have taken a big blow since A, Peter Capaldi came on, and B, the writing just hasn't been that great. I mean, Moffat's kind of been dragging his heels. So they have to do something. They can either play it safe, which I think that who wrote this on the Nerdist? Do we have Kyle Anderson? I fear that he's probably correct. I fear that they are probably going to play it safe. And I hope that if they do play it safe, we will still get good stories and, you know, be able to move forward, etc. But I also think that this may, rather than this being the wrong time to shake things up because you need that stability, I think that if you're careful about it, this may be the right time to shake things up, because even if the showrunner has a little bit of difficulty kind of getting his sea legs under him, so to speak, someone like David Oyelowo or Hayley Atwell, they're such strong actors. And I think that they would redefine the role in such a way that it would just be so interesting to watch them in the role that the first few shows don't have to be perfect. I think it would give the showrunner a chance to kind of get his legs under him and probably be a little bit more interactive with the actor or actress about how they want to define the character going forward.
It certainly could, but they just need to get good story back in again.
That's the key. Yeah.
You're right. Every time you change an actor, there's a lot of risk. Yeah. So is there ever going to be a good time to make it a really big change?
Yeah.
Star Wars took a risk with, female leads in the last two movies. Mm-hmm. Gee, that risk turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, despite
all of the online hate and the alleged boycotts and all that kind of stuff, despite all of that. I think that still scares Hollywood and television producers. Mm-hmm. But we need to wrap it up. I'm going to let Chris have the final say here, since he kind of broached the subject, brought the article in and all that. Lou, what's your wrap up here?
My wrap up is I am hoping they get back to what I loved about Doctor Who and give me some good story. And I don't care who they put in the role. Just give me a good story and I'll be attached to that doctor probably.
Okay. My final word on it is basically the same thing. While I would love to see Hayley Atwell, and I don't think that there's an actress that's come along that really just screams Doctor Who to me like she does. But I agree with you. Really, it's about to get some good episodes back. Get some good show writing back. Take the show in an epic direction again. And I think that's what you need to do to repair things. You know, playing it safe is not the problem. The problem is not so much the doctor. The problem is the showrunner right now.
Yep.
But Chris, let's give you the final say as we wrap up here.
I mean, I think you really both hit the nail on the head there, especially about the showrunner. I mean, you know, Moffat has done some really good things. Some of the series' best episodes were written by Stephen Moffat. And, you know, you can't deny his talent, but sometimes I think the guy bit off more than he could chew. And, you know, even though I do think that the BBC will play it safe when it comes to casting, and, you know, we might get, you know, a little bit of, you know, not diversity, but change when it comes to maybe how the doctor acts or, you know, maybe some of the character quirks. I don't think it'll be a drastic change right now. And, you know, I'm really just excited to see where the new showrunner goes, because I'll be honest with you. I'm just tired of Moffat storylines and, you know, long plot arcs. I just want Doctor Who back.
I don't mind the long plot arcs.
I love long plot arcs.
Some of them have not made any bit of sense.
That's true. The long plot arcs have not been as good recently.
True, but I mean, I love nothing more than a long time waiting for the payoff. It's just as long as it pays off, you know.
But like the Matt Smith stuff, you had the little teases right here and there, and it pays off at the end. The Peter Capaldi stuff, again, not because of Peter Capaldi, but just that era of writing by Moffat. Those have not paid off.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, I want to thank you for bringing this topic into the show this week. Like I said, I had a different topic lined up, but I'm happy to have knocked that back for this. This is really interesting, and it's a show that, while I never thought I'd be that interested in, I care a lot about right now. And the fans of this show are very passionate about the show, and for good reason. So it's going to be very interesting to see where things go with this in the future.
It's always good to talk Doctor Who.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to blitz through the closing here real quick, but we're trying to keep the shows between 30 and 40 minutes. And I think we might just squeeze it in this time. So we want to hear your feedback on this. Let us know what you think about this and where you want to see Doctor Who go from here. Send us an email at randomchatter.com. I'm sorry, randomchatter@randomchatter.com. And give us your feedback. You can find us online. Follow us on Facebook at Random Chatter Network. And on Twitter at Random Chatter. That's the Twitter feed for the entire network. I am at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. Chris, where can we find you?
I'm at The Curse of Chris.
All right. And Lou?
Lou Secchi, LouSecki.
Okay, and you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We would love it if you would leave us reviews wherever you find the show or any of the shows on the network, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, or just even telling your friends about us. Review our shows to your friends, for your friends. You know, share the wealth. Get other people into the community, because it's a community that you are a part of and that benefits you as well. Speaking of the community, you can listen along with other members of the community live as we record. Right now, it's going to be Tuesday nights. We probably have some more nights coming up soon as well. But every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, head over to randomchatter.com/live. And going forward, this is the last episode recording in January. This is being recorded January 31st. Starting in February 2017, we will be using Twitch instead of Ustream. So if you already have a Twitch account, you can follow Random Chatter Network. If not, you can create a Twitch account. It's free. And you can participate in the chat room while you watch us live. We'll actually have video going forward from here on out. We want to give a quick shout out to everybody who supported us on Patreon. If you'd like to help out the network, even if it's just a dollar, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. That'll get you into our social community on our Slack channel. And there are different various levels of perks and such there. So again, a quick shout out to everybody who's helped support us there. The music you hear in this podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. And Asilius has sent sounds. All trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care.